Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. Good to talk to you.
And how are you proceeding?
I am proceeding nicely.
Excellent. What have you been engaging?
Well, one, I had kind of a cool experience that I wanted to talk to you about. One morning last week, I woke up and I was thinking of two people that I know. One I know from like the Bashar circles, and then one I know from the Elias circles. And so I thought, well, you know, I thought about them. I just sent them both a little note, you know, a little text saying, hey, thinking about you, whatever, hoping things are going well. And the first one, the one from the Bashar, is very interesting that he had said he had just bought these postcards, and there's this, Bashar had suggested mailing 90 postcards to the White House about UFO disclosure, and I thought, gosh, that sounds like a fun thing to do. And so the timing of that was just kind of nice. But, you know, that stuff happens, or I'm noticing that stuff more and more. So that was interesting. But then I thought of this other guy, Arthur, and I had texted him. And, you know, we said, you know, hello, good morning, whatever. And then I went and I took a shower. And in the shower, sometimes I'll just hum or make noises in at different levels, just to, because I can feel it releasing energy or relaxing me or something. So I'll just play around with that sometimes. And this time I started talking in, when I was a little kid, I used to talk in this croaky voice just for fun. And so I started talking in this croaky voice, and it's this croaky voice like says to me that it's Roth, and Roth is actually Arthur's essence name. And then in my mind I'm thinking, oh, this is silly. And then the croaky voice says, well, I know you want proof, and says something to the effect of conscious creators don't need proof, conscious creators create. And then they have their proof. And then also it said, if I told Arthur this, I would have my proof. And so just for fun, after I get done, I text Arthur and I said, oh, it was so funny. I was in the shower and I talked to Roth, and I said this thing about conscious creators. I said what he said to me. And he texts back that he had just been sitting in the sunshine thinking about me, and then the words conscious creators came into his mind, which he it stuck out for him, because he says he usually does not put those two words together. So when he texted that back, I was like, oh, and I told him, I said, oh my God, that's like proof, quote unquote proof for me. And I was just kind of tickled by the whole thing. And so two things. One, you know, it was evidence of, you know, our interconnectedness, how we are just so connected. You know, that was, you know, just a fun thing with that. And then, so my question for you is, was that interconnectedness? And we were just kind of, Arthur and I were on the same wavelength, or was this essence Roth that I was talking to? Was that the essence Roth I was talking to?
Both.
Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Let me also express to you, and I have expressed this previously, although not for quite some time in your terms. Individuals that are interactive with a channel, in your terms, if they are consistently interactive with the individual that is channeling, what occurs is that it is much more likely that individuals around that channel would be likely to engage similar actions. The reason is not only individuals that engage myself per se or another essence through another channel, but when individuals are also interactive with the channel themselves, you automatically express more of an openness to other essences, and therefore there is a stronger likelihood that other individuals can generate that action of channeling more easily or automatically. And it is very common that individuals surrounding one individual that is channeling, they're likely what you would term perhaps to be offshoots of that, in which other individuals around them begin engaging similar actions, and it is very common.
So let me ask you, I was also kind of like on a different tone. I was doing a different tone, and I thought maybe I engaged the essence, an essence called Allah. Did I also engage an essence called Allah?
Yes.
Wow. And so it's interesting, of course, there are no accidents, that this is called channeling. And I know that you have said that what you and Mary do is an energy exchange, but a lot of this channeling, because it's, for me, I mean, obviously I'm still there and I didn't go away like Mary does, but it still feels, I mean, it kind of feels like I can see how all this interconnectedness works, because it's like you're just in a different channel. You're like on a boat, you know, you're instead of going down like the ocean seas, you just kind of like drift into this channel, and then you're doing what the channel is doing. You're flowing with that channel. And it, you know, it felt like that. And it seemed very, yeah.
Yes, I would agree. And as I have expressed, it is easier for individuals to do that if they are interactive with an individual that engages that type of action. You will notice that in, let us say, circles of individuals or groups of individuals that surround a particular person that is generating an energy exchange or channeling, there will be other individuals that will begin doing that in varying degrees and in varying manners, but you will notice other individuals beginning to do that also, because they are naturally and automatically more open to that type of phenomenon.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So I've been having a lot of, noticing or remembering a lot of dreams. I've been wearing this, I think it's Labradorite necklace at night, and that's what I'm, you know, believing is contributing or helping or assisting and all these. But anyway, I had this dream last night, and I can't really remember the dream. I lost it. I just remember these associations of, and the dream just doing something because it was the thing to do. That's why you're, the reason you're doing it is because it's the thing to do. This wasn't in my dream, but this was in, you know, we had just, we'd been down at New Orleans and you go to Cafe Du Monde and get beignets because that's just what you do. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking there's probably better beignets elsewhere in the city, but you go, you just go to Cafe Du Monde and get beignets. So that's what we do. But then I had this, I don't know if it was in the dream or an association or something. I connected that somehow to this hurricane. There's this hurricane that's coming up, you know, maybe heading towards the east coast of the United States. And I can't really think of, you know, it felt like there was some kind of information there, but I couldn't put the pieces together. So I guess my question for you, are those two related? The hurricane and that idea of doing something because it's always done, or is it just kind of separate information that I got twisted together?
They are connected. And in that, it is a matter of looking at or observing what individuals do in relation to expressions such as a hurricane or any natural disaster that you think of as being a natural disaster, and what automatic expressions they engage and what behaviors they express in relation to that particular idea. This is merely what you do.
Huh.
In this, it is not specific to the hurricane. It is more a general statement that you are presenting to yourself and in relation to what I have been expressing and discussing with all of you in relation to changes and what is occurring in your world and with your planet. And in that, recognizing that you are in many capacities, and especially in relation to how your government addresses to situations, you will notice that this is an example. There is a hurricane building, and it is moving in a particular direction, and your government is responding to weather services, and they are expressing in the manner that they usually do, and individuals respond in their usual manner, and what do? Are you addressing to anything in relation to these weather patterns? No. You're merely doing what you do.
Yeah.
You board up windows and doors, you evacuate, you close certain areas, and you move in the direction of protection. That is what you do.
Hmm.
Don't address to something you react to, then what you do. And it is not merely in relation to weather. It is in relation to everything. And it is significant at this present time for what are you doing this particular year?
Electing a president.
Correct. And how are you doing that?
The same old way.
You are doing it in the manner that you always do. For it is merely what you do. Just as with your expression in New Orleans. You may have found that same expression somewhere else, and it may have even been, in your opinion, better. But you were doing what you do. That is what you do. You go to a particular place, for that is what you do. In this, that is even connected with what you are all doing now, or most of you. You are engaging your election in the same manner that you always do, for that is what you do. You don't necessarily agree with it. You don't necessarily like it, but that is what you do. And therefore, you do it.
Well, that's good. I'm going to put this in my awareness of when I'm doing what I do because I always do it. And then I'm going to stop and choose, do I still want to do what I always want to do, or do I want to do something different?
Excellent. That is the end.
I agree. So it was this, speaking of doing something different, I didn't intentionally do this, or maybe I did, I don't know. It just, well, it didn't seem like a intention setting. It just, I kind of fell into it. But John and I were driving back, or I was driving, and John was a passenger back from North Carolina last month. And I noticed, I really noticed, I mean, it wasn't just like a coincidence. It was such evidence I gave to myself of my inside and the outside being in sync, you know. I noticed when I was driving in North Carolina, you know, I have this association that it's less traffic on the road, so people are not as stressed out and they're more polite. And I noticed how driving in the traffic laws are, the right lane is the slower traffic and the left lane is the faster traffic, so you can pass and get over. But most of the time when I drive, in the past, it has been like you're like, oh, the person in the left-hand lane doesn't know to get up and get over, and you can be irritated or you can whatever. But I was just like, do, 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 and I would pass the car and I would get over, and I just felt inside myself just this courtesy towards other drivers. And I noticed everyone was kind of following suit. We all were being courteous to each other. And it was very pleasant. And I wasn't running into any traffic and everything's going smoothly. And then when we get into the getting closer to home, you know, when the traffic congestion starts, I kind of had this thought, oh, maybe now it'll be worse. But still, when the traffic got more, I kind of kept that same attitude because I'd been in it for a while. So it was easier for me to keep and going and getting over. And it was, for the most part, people were still doing that. And there was just one little car that I felt was kind of quote unquote rude, but you know, I realize that's just my interpretation. But then I kind of like he sped up when I was going to get around him, but I just kind of went the other way and I got in front, and then that was that. But other than that little point right there, the trip was just so wonderful. And I thought, well, there you go. I was putting out courteous energy and I was receiving courteous energy. It was really quite a nice experience, actually.
I would agree, and I would express congratulations, and I would acknowledge you in how easy that is to do.
Yeah. So anyhow, that was just a sharing. But okay, so I want to also talk about this, and I'm pretty sure I will move through this. I move through this a lot, and it doesn't quote unquote bother me as much as it used to, but I still know there is something there that I would like to move through or understand or accept in myself more. And I know in talking about reflections in the world around me, I know it's so obvious in my mother and in my daughter, this attitude. And I know what I tell them, I give them advice. And I know when I try to take it on my own advice, it's not necessarily. So I am aware that I'm giving advice that I'm not necessarily taking. And I'm aware that I'm showing this to myself. So, but what it is I've wanted space. I just wanted space. And I even had this feeling like, oh my God, I just would like to sleep for days or do nothing for days. That was this desire that I had. And then for the last few days, I have given myself that opportunity to do quote unquote nothing. And so the thought arises that I'm thinking, oh my God, now I have this free time. I should be doing something. I should be. So I am, and I do notice I still feel guilty for not doing something, but I am, you know, my sloth nature, my love of being lazy. It was easy not to succumb to those, to getting up and being busy. But I do understand. I still have this thing in myself where I'm not as valuable if I'm not doing something, if I'm just doing nothing. And my mother says, she'll go, you know, because she says, I just don't feel like doing anything. And I'll tell her, I say, well, then don't do it. And she says, well, then I'll never do anything. And I said, oh, yeah, you will. Once you submit to this feeling of not doing anything, eventually you'll want to do something. You just go with it. And, oh, no, I don't trust it. And I tell her that. And on some level, I believe it, but I can feel the non-trust on myself. And my daughter, she'll say the same thing. I'll just sit around and not do anything, you know. And there is a certain sense of we're not being of value when we do that. So I would just like to hear your thoughts on that and help me maybe move through that.
I would express that what contributes significantly to this perception of not being productive and therefore feeling uncomfortable or feeling guilty is that the first factor is you are expressing incorrectly. You are expressing that you are doing nothing, which is incorrect.
That is true.
And in that, you expressed that several times. I want to do nothing. I am doing nothing. My mother is expressing that she is doing nothing. My daughter expresses that. And I and you express those words, doing nothing, several times. In this, the point is, you are not doing nothing. And the idea is what influences those feelings, that feeling of restlessness, that influence of shoulds and should nots, that sense of you require yourself to be active and productive. And in this, that first piece is considerably important. When you can recognize and actually express differently that you're not doing nothing, you are never doing nothing. You can be sitting and not moving, but you are doing. You are always doing. For nothing would be ceasing to exist. In 1 second, in 1 minute, you are generating many, many, many actions. All of your senses are engaged. You are inputting information. You are thinking. You are feeling. You are functioning in your body consciousness. Let me express to you, when you are, in your terms, quote-unquote, doing nothing, what you are actually doing is you are being less physically active. That is all. You are being less physically active, but in that, when you are less physically active intentionally, your body consciousness becomes more active. But when you are less active, it allows your body consciousness to be regenerating uninterrupted. The same as sleeping. Therefore, what I would express to you, as I have many times previously, your words are important, for they hold meaning. They hold meaning to you, and they hold influence in that meaning. You are never doing nothing. You may be choosing to be less physically active at any given time framework, but when you are less physically active, it may be an interesting experiment to merely be noticing all of the actions that you are doing that are not necessarily physical actions. You are likely thinking, you are continuing to engage your senses, which are inputting information. You are aware. You are feeling. Even if you are not emotionally feeling, you are physically feeling. And you are functioning within your body consciousness. What are you doing? You may be engaging your imagination. That is definitely doing, and productive. It is a matter of redefining what you think of as being productive.
Yeah.
Productive is not always expressed in manufacturing something.
So, I get that, and you know, that's very easy for me to understand and move into that. And I think too, the other things I've been thinking about is not necessarily, like, I, even when I'm saying I'm doing nothing, I do realize I am doing something, but then I think it's the judgment upon myself that, oh, maybe I could be doing something quote unquote better, which I know is,
or better or more.
And then it's so funny because I tell myself, and then it's interesting. I thought this was kind of interesting too. Like, I always tell myself, like, I've been thinking, well, trust the moment. This is the moment. Trust the moment. And Justin had channels Twyla, and Twyla says, trust the moment. And I am fragmented, I think, just from Twyla. So it's all very interesting about that. Trust the moment. So that's just been in my trust the moment, which is trusting myself and trusting my flow. And yeah, it is all very interesting. So I just,
let me also express to you in that it is also a matter of perhaps evaluating or questioning your motivation.
Oh, that's interesting.
In that, when you are expressing that you want to do nothing, why do you want to do nothing?
Because I'm tired.
Then in that, rather than expressing that you want to do nothing,
I want to rest and rejuvenate.
Maybe more efficient and more effective for you to actually answer yourself, what is your motivation? What is prompting you in a particular direction? Rather than merely expressing, I want to do nothing. Acknowledge what you are actually feeling. I'm feeling tired, or I'm feeling overwhelmed, or I am feeling heavy, and I want to engage some direction that allows me to feel lighter, or that rejuvenates me, or that regenerates me. In that, then you are actually engaging two actions simultaneously that are definitely beneficial. One is you are acknowledging and defining what you are actually feeling, rather than dismissing it. And in addition to that, you are then giving yourself permission to address to what you are feeling and to engage a choice. It is all very simple, but it is also very connected with the words you use, for the words you use define how you think about and how you associate with any particular action or direction. When you are feeling tired, but you are not actually acknowledging that, you are merely expressing, I want to do nothing. You're not acknowledging the motivation by not acknowledging the feeling. Regardless that you think you are acknowledging the feeling, for you are reacting to it. But reacting to it is not the same as acknowledging it. And in that, moving in a direction of not only not acknowledging the feeling, but incorporating terms that move in opposition to your flow, because they mean something contrary to you.
Okay, that's good. That's helpful. Thank you. Okay. I now kind of want to shift to more of a curiosity conceptual question.
Very well.
I'm going to ask the question. Not sure if if we'll be able to understand the answer or not, but I won't ask it anyway. So I've been thinking a lot about space and wanting to create space, which I've given myself lots of fun synchronicities around that. But just also
physical space.
Physical space and space inside my head, both. I want physical space and space inside my head. Space to to respond and not react. Space to know myself and understand my flow better. And space to freedom to get to know me and express me. That's really what I want space for.
Very well. Now, this is also an excellent example of incorrect words.
Oh, boy.
That incorporate alterations of meanings.
Okay.
But that if you want to give yourself physical space, that is one subject. Now, space in your head is incorrect. That would be time.
Oh.
Time to give yourself to explore, to evaluate, to expand, to be more aware. That does not engage space. Not physical space and not space in your head.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That makes sense.
Oh. Very well.
Okay.
Therefore, you want physical space and you want time for these different expressions to do what?
I feel, I have a funny feeling I'm going to be corrected on this one, but I feel that I want to express my creativity in different ways than I am. I know that I want
very well.
So I want to feel that, and I want to get a picture of that, and I want to create that. I want to create my creativity outlet.
Differently.
Differently.
Very well. In what capacity?
Well, let's think about, like, maybe my writing, which I have put on the shelf and put on the shelf and put on the shelf and But I want to know, maybe that's not how I want to express it. Or how do I, like I know on this one, like I will get moments of inspiration and then I'll write things down. And I know, and it feels good. But, so I want to find ways to bring those moments of inspiration and the flow more often. And I want that to be more of the way I live versus the way I'm living now.
Very well. And perhaps that is a matter of experimenting with different directions and different actions to evaluate what interests you and what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
It may be a matter of engaging your imagination and allowing yourself to experiment in different directions that you have not necessarily explored previously. You automatically gravitate to writing, for it is something familiar. And it is a physical action. The first point is to allow yourself to somewhat define, not necessarily entirely specifically, that will come as you continue, but to allow yourself to express what interests you. If you want to explore your creativity in a different manner than you already are, begin with what is interesting to you, and then begin to expand that in all of the different manners or capacities that you could explore that. What are you interested in? Are you interested in aliens? Or extraterrestrials? If so, what directions can you engage that allow you to explore those avenues, not merely writing or reading? Those are avenues, but there are many more avenues besides writing and reading. And how would you like to explore that subject? It can be applicable to any subject, but it is merely a matter of beginning with defining to yourself, even in a general sense initially, what actually interests you. What are you curious about? And then allowing yourself to begin to pursue that by engaging your imagination. Creativity can be expressed in any manner.
Okay.
I would say that you can be expressing creativity in speaking.
Yeah.
That is an action that you can be applying every day in your life and every situation. How can you be expressing your creativity more fully and more artfully in how you speak, how you engage other individuals? Communication can be creative and equally as much of an art form as painting.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. I shall put on.
Okay.
Hmm?
You think.
You cut out on the last thing you said?
What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is I do like connecting with people and having conversations with people and talking with people and engaging them. I really like engaging them creative way. I'm thinking that's going to have to just pop into my head or something other than the only thing I can think of at this moment is just to see them differently, which I kind of think I am seeing people differently.
Yes, you are.
I am.
Now,
yeah, go ahead.
At perhaps challenge yourself and experiment with using language.
Oh boy.
A more imaginative or creative manner. When you are speaking, think about speaking in using words as a dance.
Hmm.
How can you be using words to be dancing with another individual? To be dancing, you also must involve a mood.
Mm.
How can you use your words while you are engaging with another individual to dance with them, to set a mood, to set a tone, a lighting, a rhythm? And therefore, being engaging in a more creative manner, but engaging and communicating.
I like that. Okay, I will be playing around with that.
Excellent.
So now, and I do like the digression of our conversation. That was fun and helpful. But back to my original curiosity that sparked this whole conversation, which is good. So I was thinking about space, and this would be physical space. Was wondering, is there a reality in any dimension that exists that does not have physical space, or something with which in which to contrast. So what I'm wondering, it's like the reason in our space something you have to, like, you can't, if everything's all white, there's just whiteness. You would need, you know, the black to have something to show you that it was white. So that kind of is where I'm coming from. Like, can a reality exist without something in which to contrast?
Can a reality exist in which there is no contrast? No.
That's what I thought.
I would stress that a reality can exist without space, without a space.
Yeah, because you're reality.
Therefore, without physical manifestation, but can reality exist without contrast? No. For that word contrast also means different. And can there be a reality without difference? No. For that would negate choice.
Ah. And so all realities have choice?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I don't know. I just feel like something is a brewing, but I, you know, feel like that lately. But or maybe I'm just noticing, being more aware, or something, like when I was driving, and I don't know. I just feel something is up. Which is,
I would express, you are brewing. And in that, you are paying attention differently. Not necessarily more, for you were already considerably paying attention, but you are paying attention differently. And in that, engaging somewhat of a different expansion and including that aspect of creativity in that expansion. Quite interesting.
And it's easier to understand how everything can be the same one thing. And how just by my perception is really, I mean, I'm understanding it on a different level, how my perception is creating my reality. Because when I do change my perception, my reality changes, but the reality could be, I mean, I can see how it's different for someone else, or it could go back to being a different way for me if I change my perception.
Precisely. I would express that this is such a significant point, and that is a part of this change, is that you are becoming more aware in a real capacity not merely an intellectual capacity, of reality and of perception and how it actually does create your reality.
There's still those big things. So let me ask you this. I think I kind of said it, but I just want to think about it a little bit more. About, everything. So I'm just trying to think of, like, thinking about this hurricane. Well, I was starting to think, the reason is because my mind is jumping ahead, but I was starting to think, so the hurricane, you know, obviously on one level, perception, like good or bad, or, you know, you can get a benefit or a detriment out of it. And I was thinking, but the hurricane is going to be there. Well, it'll just be a matter of how I perceive it. But then I thought, well, you've already said there could be realities where there it just is no hurricane. And so then I thought, my perception is really quite literally putting me in my reality. Because I'm at the place now where I can feel we're all like looking at the same stuff and the world is, we're all kind of seeing the same world, we're just interpreting different, which that create by our interpretation or perception and creates our reality. I kind of really feel like I've got a better grasp on understanding experientially that, but I don't think I'm quite at the point where I have an experience of something that's happening in my reality I'm completely unaware of, or that it's not happening in somebody else's reality. That, I don't know if I have that quite under my wings yet.
And I would express that it is likely that you will present something to yourself, and at that point, rather than being entirely baffled, or automatically being suspicious that it is not possible for that expression to exist, you may be perceiving it considerably different at that time.
Well, I guess I have kind of presented some of those to me along the way, little baby ones, but yeah.
Fresh. All have presented that ourselves at different times, but it is significantly different when you begin to become aware of the significance of perception and how it actually is creating your reality. When you begin to recognize that this mechanism of perception is very real, and that it is the mechanism that actually does create reality, and that it is very individual, that moves you away from that idea or that concept that there is an official reality.
Yeah.
Which, regardless of how much most individuals may express that they understand that there is no actual one official reality, that is intellectual. They don't actually recognize that and fully understand that in a realistic capacity yet. There are some expressions that you do continue to view then in that capacity of that official reality that is beside your individual reality that you create. And that also is connected with that peace of that is just what you do.
Ah. Nice way to circle back around on that, Elias. Well, as always, I enjoyed our conversation very much and our connection. Thank you.
And I agree. I express the same to you and tremendous encouragement in this new direction.
Thank you.
Made fun to explore.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
And my continuously in encouragement and support. And I shall be anticipating our next meeting quite soon.
Yes, quite soon. In more physical proximity on my end.
Very well, my friend. In wondrous lovingness to you as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.